Welcome to the Real Talk Weekly podcast, where we discuss news, culture, life, and dive into deep conversations about our faith. Here's your host, Alan Reed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Real Talk podcast. I am Alan Reed, host of the show. Plugging in my password at the last minute here.
Oh.
And wow. Hey, everybody. How's Allie, David, and James? You guys doing well?
Well, Allie's good.
David, great. How am I?
James is great.
Looking good, James.
Allie, how's David?
He's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
I am so excited. This morning, I have surprised my
so disgusting.
Real Talk family with one of my favorite snacks here, since they highlighted how gross it might be. I'm here to prove them wrong.
Carson,
here to prove y'all wrong.
Carson was talking about it, and he's saying, I've seen my dad do that for years.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it's not as bad as we make it out to be.
Yes.
But so it looks disgusting.
It looks terrible.
This is your opportunity. So I have Fritos, and I got the, did I get the scoops? Yes.
Yes, you got the scoops. The
scoop Allie is like ready to
and,
go. I hope you don't spill that on your
yes. Zoom and enhance. Zoom and enhance.
It's the Dairy Queen Blizzard.
It's simple.
Just kidding.
I mean, your only ingredients is just peanut butter and banana. And you just mash it together.
It's the Fritos thing.
Hey, what's the ratio? What's the ratio of peanut butter to banana? That feels important here.
You know, I've
one
done
banana
years,
to one peanut butter.
So
this is
actually two bananas.
It's one to one.
Oh, two?
Two bananas.
That's
and I would
bananas?
Say,
and the banana.
I'd say about a quarter to a half a cup of banana. Probably a quarter. I don't
of
know.
Banana? So you put banana and
peanut
banana?
Butter. Peanut butter.
Okay.
Two bananas. I'll eat like a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Yeah.
But this being mushed up like that.
So.
Oh, I love it mushed together. That
like,
doesn't.
I'm pretty sure I had a cat that did that growing up on the carpet.
The way that I'd like
really
to do this.
Let's not talk about cats right before we're going to eat something.
Let's just talk about our favorite things about peanut butter as we're eating it. I want everyone to try it.
Listen, I'm afraid to talk about things I like because Alan might roast me again.
It's true.
Well, don't say weird things.
Yeah, just don't say anything.
As you're getting ready to try peanut
to be
butter
fair,
and banana.
We roasted him about this. So.
Mushed, yeah. That's true.
Right. So let's try it.
Okay, I love peanut butter with apples,
yes,
pretzels.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Ants on a celery.
Put it in the
underrated.
Smoothie today.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've never done
I
that.
Had spinach in my smoothie as well. So
right,
it works
folks,
like when that, it's blended.
Yeah. David.
Yeah,
David.
I'm the first
brave.
Taker. Here we go.
In case you throw up.
Honest. I want your honest opinion. Don't like fake it.
Hey, does it matter too? Does it have to be Fritos scoops? Is that
no,
important?
No, I just a little easier, a little cleaner because they do.
Oh, no.
Come on, David.
No.
You like it. I can tell. I can tell.
He can't even swallow it. It's so thick.
The taste is not terrible. The consistency is the worst.
What are you talking about? Good old
it's like baby food, man. It's so gross.
It's like a dip. It's a dip.
It's not.
You know?
Just see how much I dipped it.
Maybe
you
can put this in jars.
You got it.
Put it in jars. I bet you make a lot of money.
Oh, I can't do this.
Oh, sorry.
We're breaking our rule here.
About not eating on camera.
Alan.
Isn't that good?
I like
need,
it.
I need
it's
a
good,
Frito.
Isn't it? Thank you.
I won't be eating this in my free time.
Yes, you will or you won't?
I won't. But I'm happy that you do because it's not bad.
No, not
gotta
bad at all.
Get the flavor out of my mouth.
Well, I'm just leaning
you
away from
the
it.
You have the sweetness
I
of the
want
banana.
A little more.
Yeah, have as many as you like.
I don't
every,
love
every once
it.
In a while, you might hear a little chewing going on, but we're going to try to be real careful with that because
yes,
David got real upset with us.
Microphone away.
When we were, was that with Skittles? Were we? What were we eating?
It wasn't totally me. It was our listeners as well. They were like,
oh, really?
They were
it
like,
was your wife.
That was disgusting.
Our apologies. That was gross. Okay. All
I
right.
Can't believe I'm doing this twice.
See?
I'll give it one more try.
You can't have just one. I'm telling
hey,
you.
Hey, no. Scoop from over in this section. I think it's blended a little better.
Okay.
Man.
I'm just happy. I got plenty
I'm just
of
so
peanut
happy
butter
this morning. I've got my coffee.
Banana, so.
Oh, you might be getting
Fritos
too much. I'm not for sure.
And dip. I think if we get this in Walmart, we can make a lot of money.
No, there's no way a banana can stay good.
No,
that's the problem.
In a jar, can it? I don't know. Well, it's baby food, banana.
Yeah,
made
I, can't do this.
I can't do it.
Walmart
can't
do
really?
It.
No.
Whatever.
Well,
I could eat just that.
You guys are strange.
Also,
I could eat just that, which is the bizarre part, right? Because that looks gross.
Oh, no.
It's when I mix the Frito in that there's something about the taste of the peanut butter and the Frito mixed together. It doesn't
tell
work.
Us.
If it was colder. Like you put it in the fridge for a long time.
Okay.
It'd probably make it
so
better.
So try that.
Boom. Or like
I
with
like
Teddy
for
Grahams?
Everybody who's listening to this show, don't just like
some
it.
Custard.
Teddy Grahams or
Teddy
graham crackers.
Teddy Grahams. Teddy Grahams is
tell us what you think.
Graham crackers.
Okay.
And if you want to go
ooh,
in
no,
business
wafers.
With me, let's right. talk about it, okay?
I need some
investors.
Palate again.
Yeah.
A few investors and we got something going.
Alan was cutting a deal and these two are cleansing their palates.
We got connections in Walmart. We can make this happen.
So we were trying to talk about what's our favorite peanut butter?
Favorite peanut butter food, you know what I mean?
Do you put like, peanut butter
what do you like to mix it with or what do you dislike?
I love peanut butter, so I'll put it on anything. But I will say, I don't love crunchy peanut butter. But I love it on a burger.
That's Ashley's go-to.
But I don't like it on like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't like crunchy.
Yeah, I would agree. Ashley eats, she just scoops out the crunchy. Mm-hmm. That's like a snack for her. She just
puts Lauren loves crunchy peanut butter. Mm-hmm. But if you use crunchy peanut butter in cookies, like peanut butter cookies, not good.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, the crunchy, yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So...
Do you guys do peanut butter on like waffles or pancakes?
Oh, yeah. That was a game changer for me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in that same vein and kind of the peanut idea what Alan's bacon. Got, my brother did this when I was growing up, and so I kind of developed the habit too. But you take a scoop of peanut butter, just put it in a bowl, and then put some syrup in the bowl and mix it together and have that as a snack.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So basically it's like the peanut butter pancake without the pancake.
Anybody else want some? Or do you?
No, I think
you're good. No, I'm
double
done
dip
with
if
this.
You'd like.
Just warm up syrup.
This whole episode is going to be on.
Just mousing over there, just all right. Munching.
I didn't really care for, the only thing peanut butter I didn't care for was a burger. It didn't add any value to
really?
It.
Really?
I was like, it's taken away from the meaty flavor.
It's different. You can't go in expecting to eat a peanut butter burger as a cheeseburger like you
right.
would get.
It's just
different.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time before I tried one. Mm-hmm. And after I tried it, I was like, okay, I'm down with this. It's not a cheeseburger. It's a peanut butter bacon burger.
Yeah,
is what I tried, and it was solid.
Well, thank you guys for at least trying.
Absolutely,
kind of shows that you care.
I still have. I'm in tune with my snackage, and
like
I,
that by
I
itself,
agree,
I would,
is not there.
I would eat.
It's not
with the Fritos.
Well, you guys try it, and please let us know what you think, and maybe try refrigerating it first. It's not warm.
No,
it's just.
But it's just. It's like. Barely above room temperature.
It's the way you keep bananas and peanut butter.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Natural.
Yeah.
100% natural.
Organic, healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Free range bananas.
If you guys are new to the show, we have a simple format. Our three experts will pick out their dishes, which are interesting articles.
Thank you
sometimes
for that.
Sometimes they're ridiculous. Sometimes they're just fun. Maybe a little controversial, or we've got one that's a little controversial. It's like, whoa, what do we do about that? And then I usually bring the dip dish. But if I have trouble, Allie's usually the one that bails me out. And so today, she was the one that actually picked this one out. I did see it, but I have to give her credit for it. And so I'll be bringing in the deep dish, which is something a little bit more in depth. Help us all to think a little bit more. And typically, it's more on a spiritual bent.
It's time for the dish.
So, who wants to go first?
I mean, mine's pretty funny.
Fine, go.
Okay, so...
pretty confident there.
Better be funny.
I mean, it can be. Have you guys seen Prison Break, the show?
No.
Really?
I'm scared of prison.
Alan, have you seen Prison Break?
No, is that on Netflix?
I mean,
you're asking the guy who doesn't watch anything.
I'm forced to watch what Ashley watched. Early
Friends.
2000s. It was a great show.
I don't think so. I'll have to Google it.
Well, shoot, my intro is kind of moot now since none of y'all have seen this.
This is going great.
Okay, yeah, this is great. So
it is funny.
My article is two escape jail and go straight to IHOP. Okay, so two inmates in a Virginia jail. This is like Shawshank to the max. You guys have seen Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. At least you've seen one Prison Break movie.
Yes.
Or show. So these guys broke out of the Newport News jail annex.
Yes. Newport News.
Yeah.
'Tis a town.
That's a town?
Yeah, Newport News is a town.
Interesting. So obviously they did not make their head count during the head count portion, but they escaped. But they used tools they made from a toothbrush and metal objects from, I'm guessing metal objects is like they stole a spoon or something. They had to have.
Just like in the movies.
But I am super impressed that they... got out of this like wall. It's like a brick wall with a toothbrush.
Just poked a hole in it.
Yeah. So it looks like a perfect like circle. It's pretty impressive. But they broke out. And you know, where's the first place you want to go when you break out of jail?
I don't know. I've never been in that situation yet.
I mean, if you were.
Probably Disneyland.
Disneyland? Okay.
Oh.
You know,
I don't know.
Want to go big.
shopping.
Into hiding? Is that the are you looking for an answer?
I know. I'm like, the not in public.
IHOP is a pretty good place.
I was going to say, the obvious answer here is not go to somewhere public.
Yeah.
But these two guys, brave souls, went to IHOP because they had to get their breakfast on.
Yeah, you have to.
And of course,
well, what time of the day was it?
Okay, so it was early Tuesday. It says, so they were going for breakfast. Alan was correct. Breakfast.
Yeah, I kind of deducted it down to
Yeah. Mm.
Smart.
Well, they got caught in an IHOP because, you know, reasons.
Here's the deal, though. If you break out of jail, the likelihood of them finding you is pretty high.
Yeah, you might as well.
Why not just go enjoy a meal?
Right.
You know you're probably going to get caught before you have to pay for it.
Yep. But is IHOP worth the extra, like, 5 to 6 years
absolutely
that you're
going to
get added
not.
On top of your sentence?
No, Waffle House would have been the better option.
Cracker Barrel would have been a better option. There's Waffle House, they wouldn't have gotten caught. I'm just telling you right now.
Cracker Barrel takes too long. They would
it's
never have gotten
to be
a
IHOP
meal.
When it comes to pancakes.
You're right about that.
Pigs in the Blanket. That was my go-to.
They have those at IHOP?
Well, they did back when I was a kid. I don't know.
They don't
back
have them anymore.
No.
Back when
80s.
It was just like
back
America's
when life
House
was
of
awesome
Pancakes.
In the 80s.
They didn't go international yet.
It was IHOP.
Yeah. It wasn't international. Just
remember whenever they tried to change their name to International House of Burgers?
Yeah, that was
and it totally flopped.
It was
bad. I was so mad.
IHOP.
If you're ever going to break out of prison, I would suggest don't go to IHOP.
Yeah.
Just don't. But also, if you are in prison, toothbrushes.
I'm old. I'm not as old as Alan, but I'm old.
Yeah, you are.
And apparently David is also old because we were talking about this right before the episode. But I've noticed, you know, every generation has their slang terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we had cool, not, you know, was a thing. Not, I mean, like just things you said. And the newest generation has some terms that are fantastic. And I've noticed we have some people on staff here that use them
mm-hmm.
a
even
lot.
Even though they aren't.
I can think of one.
Several of these.
That use them. I don't think you do.
Alan does, for sure.
There's a couple of them. I was like, oh, I use that all the time.
What
that's
do you
very
use?
Sus.
What
now.
Do
let's,
you use?
Let's see. Let's
all right,
see.
Here we go.
All right, so this is obviously nothing but just a silly little
wait,
list.
Are you going to ask us like what they mean?
Oh, yeah. You okay. didn't read the article. He's reading the article. Turn that down. Put it away.
Oops.
Eat your peanut butter.
Okay.
Eat your peanut butter.
I will.
Eat your peanut butter.
I closed it.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
So, if you've already read ahead, then you probably already know what these are. But
I mean, I know them. I'm
I'll
kidding.
Do them in
I
different
like
orders.
I'm shocked.
Okay.
Now, the one I hear all the time is bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we have a staff member that constantly says bet. And I'm like, what?
Okay.
Oh, not like you bet?
No, just bet.
No.
Like,
Alan,
if
you
someone
say
says,
you bet a lot.
Hey, I'll meet you. We'll have our meeting at 2.
Bet.
And this person says bet.
All right.
Bet.
All right, bet.
Okay.
Bet.
Mm-hmm.
Which means
is,
what?
Which means, okay,
all
yes,
right,
or
okay.
It's on.
Yeah, it's
it
on. Mean,
it means you bet.
It's on.
It's just a shortened form. It's
yeah.
because of Twitter.
So, oh my gosh.
What?
It's because of the Twitterverse.
Yeah,
it's because
gotta,
of the Twitter.
You got so many
Alan
characters.
Is a generational scientist.
They Twittered it out.
Glow up.
Bet.
Oh, yeah, glow up. It's like when you were real ugly in middle school and then you did some work and now you're real cute in high school.
Yeah, glow up.
Well, that's a very interesting description. I mean, it's basically the right
it's
thing.
Very specific.
It's describing how someone has improved from where they used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not specifically like middle school related.
No.
That was an example.
That sounds so much.
It's life application.
That must be a girl term.
Stan.
No.
My Little Pony. Kind
I'm
of
a fan. I stan.
Stan.
Yeah.
Stan.
It means like you.
Yeah, you're a fan of that.
Stan.
This is like what we did a few like.
Never heard Stan.
Months ago with your yeet.
Yes.
Figuring out what yeet was.
Oh, yep. Alan knows. He's seen it now.
He's
learning
yeet.
I'm learning.
Cat.
I learned from you guys.
What, cap?
Cap, no cap.
I don't know.
I think cap is like a relative to bet. And it's like, okay.
I think it's more like.
And then no cap is like, that's not okay.
I have no idea what this
cap
is
like, awesome. That's so cool.
Nope. So.
Like this peanut butter and banana.
Cap means lie. No cap means I'm totally being honest.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, what is the abbreviation of like cap?
I have no idea. big yikes.
That's like a
whoa!
Yikes!
That is that an onomatopoeia?
Big yikes!
Big yikes!
Big yikes! No.
Oh
no! Big that's yikes. Like something really embarrassing happened, or it's like something bad happened. You're like, ooh, big yikes! Big yikes!
Holy
something really, really bad.
Cow.
dank.
That's cool.
Oh.
That's yeah. dank.
That's dank.
That is dank.
Do the danky leg.
So, dank means hard hitting.
What?
Not really cool, but
hard hitting. Like, that's cool.
Okay. Like a program.
It's kind of like slaps. Like
our podcast. Mm-hmm.
Hard hitting.
Tea.
Facts.
Tea. Ooh, that's like the gossip.
T-E-A. Spill the tea. How do you know this?
I am a girl.
Well, you have young nieces and nephews.
Also, I keep up with pop culture.
I don't know what that
you
means.
Understood the assignment.
I talk to the smaller children.
That's because of
children.
What, TikTok?
She yeah, TikTok did that one. And then, of course, you've got ones that I have heard before, which is like sus.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
This one I didn't really... This one bothers me. Simp.
This one is like you
I don't like this word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels
one,
gross.
This one is like you're infatuated with somebody, but it's bad.
Sewer, like right. Bottom of the well, train.
It's what you call someone who admires or likes another person.
Yeah.
But you use it in a derogatory way.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, so like, you know, it's like if the nerdy kid likes the cheerleader, he's a simp.
Because that's so sad.
You know he can't get the cheerleader because he's the nerdy kid, so you're gonna call him a simp.
Just tell him that she's out of his league. That's the nicer way to
but
say
it's
that.
But you know so, what's nicer to say?
I thought young people were nicer.
Yeah,
these days.
No, I kind of so think yes and no. I don't know.
I'm going to my safe
core. Go with your peanut butter.
Have your peanut
safe zone.
You're just like it's weird. Every so often I hear him licking his fingers because he's getting it. On
he's
his
enjoying
fingers.
It way too. Much.
No, these were just interesting words, and I'm like, okay. But it makes me wonder. Whenever I was this age, right? Whenever we were this age. Yeah. You were older than me, but when we were this age, mm-hmm. were there things that we said that an older generation was like, "What?"
Oh, for sure.
Like I know for a fact because there's lots of videos about it where you know, cool was a thing that kind of mm-hmm. cool, you know, cool.
Totally. Didn't you guys cool. say totally?
That's yeah. awesome.
Radical. Give me a break.
Rad.
Excuse me for living.
Okay. One of the words on this article says valid.
Oh,
and the description is the description of valid.
I think
so people are just using it the right way.
Yeah, I think it's just that they use it so often. Like uh-huh. like validating feelings and stuff like valid. Oh, that's valid.
Vocabulary is so low these days.
Yeah, that we're actually just using words the way that they're supposed to be used.
Vibing.
Just kidding.
Yeah, that's totally
they're
vibe.
All into vibes.
Yeah, vibing. Yeah.
Ugh, I can't stand that's
like
a vibe.
Is that like the feels?
Yeah,
the feels.
Kind of.
Like
that's a weird one too. That's a
yeah.
Like people would be like, "What's the vibe of your podcast?" So,
right. Okay. Now that
vibeless,
one. That
honestly.
One I get.
All right, we got one more, right?
Yeah.
I have to sneeze.
Blessings.
Don't do it.
All right. Well, this is an interesting conversation here.
I wish I would have read this article. I'm really intrigued.
It's okay. So
I was really hoping someone would pick this.
Yeah,
it's so
help
good.
Me out because I might not tell it with the passion that you will. All right. So there is a meme account. Alan, mm-hmm. do you know what a meme is?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, a meme.
A meme.
Meme.
So Meme's account, worship leader props, which they share. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they share a lot of like worship leader fails,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and also just things that relate to worship leaders. Okay. Anyways, this one is fascinating to me. There is a brand and it's a company that's claiming worship leader props violated, like their rights to using two out of the three words in their original name. So the company is called Authentic Media and they run a church resource called Worship Leader. So they are now trying.
It used to be a magazine.
Yeah,
yes.
It used to be Worship Leader magazine.
Yeah. So now it's just Worship Leader. Leader is the part in question, though. But they are trying to trademark Worship Leader.
Well, no, they trademarked it.
No, they did.
Okay.
They have the trademark.
And so,
they are now defending their trademark against Worship Leader props because it puts their brand in a bad light and they don't agree on a lot of things. And so now I'm like,
you know what?
Can they? The question for me is how far can they go with trademarking this? And also, how can you trademark such a generic phrase?
Yeah.
Like what does that leave that can be trademarked and cannot be trademarked? Like if somebody came and trademarked the word podcast, would
we'd all
we
be
in yeah.
I'm sure it is trademarked somewhere.
Yeah, and they just didn't
we
come
would
for
become
us.
The Real Talk Talking Heads.
Yeah. Talky talk. Real talk, talk,
real talk,
talk.
We just create a band, probably. I guess.
Real talk, but talky talk.
Anyway, so I just think it's really interesting. Do you have anything passionate you want to share?
I mean,
I feel
a
like
lot. There's
steaming.
A lot. There's a lot behind this. I mean, so last year, this has to not to do with this, but Ohio State trademarked the word "the," so they own the Ohio State trademark, but they trademarked "the" in addition to Ohio State. But it's only for merchandise.
Mm.
So
if anyone has,
no one can put the Ohio State. No, it's okay. Specifically to Ohio State.
Okay.
But this goes to a new level because now, like, worship leader is a job title.
Yeah.
It's more than just a name of something. It's it's used in our culture, like church culture. Mm-hmm. It's like trademarking the word church.
Yep.
And so I think it's interesting timing that they're going in and attacking all these Instagram accounts. Because so, it's not just worship leader props. It's
this
like,
isn't new.
They said they just woke up to it.
Yeah. The thing about it is this isn't new. It just became public within the last week or so.
Yeah.
And what's so, I'm so glad you picked this one. So I lived in Kansas City for a long time, and there was a restaurant there called, I think it was called Big Cedar or something like that.
Big Cedar Lodge.
But they had to change the name because Big Cedar Lodge. Yeah. I told them they couldn't have it. Mm. And then Kansas City had a restaurant called Oklahoma Joe's. Well, there is a company in Oklahoma that I think is still around that makes Oklahoma Joe's smokers.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma Joe's in Kansas City had to change their name to Joe's KC.
That's how they got that name.
So here's the thing. Like, I completely understand the idea for companies trademarking their brand and all that kind of stuff. I don't have a problem with that. And I completely agree with, like, these companies that did that to Big Cedar and Oklahoma Joe's. I get it. I totally get it. Especially Oklahoma Joe's, the barbecue place, because it was a barbecue restaurant.
Right. It's
and
like
they were smokers
taking
and
the
they were
competition.
Kind of related.
Yeah.
And what they felt was that this restaurant was trying to gain popularity because of the smoker brand.
Right.
Funny story. The restaurant's doing far better than the smoker brand. And the restaurant came later.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. So I totally get the idea of trademarking your brand and all that kind of stuff. I get it. I agree with it. I think it's something you should do. What I don't agree with is that Authentic Media is trying to create a worship resource, and they're trying to do something for the worship community, but then they're also detrimentally causing damage to the worship community by trying to, like, say, well, we have the phrase worship leader, you can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've also gone after, the only thing I've been able to catch up on, and again, this has been going on for a while, it's just now public.
Yeah.
So we'll see how many more things come out of the woodwork. But there's another Instagram account and YouTube account called Rogue Worship Leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the guy posts stuff and does it Star Wars themed, always has Star Wars music and
it's
Star Wars
funny.
Stuff. And it's pretty good. But he's being attacked as well because he's got Rogue Worship Leader as part of his account name. And it's like, you're literally damaging all the other people that are out there that are believers, that are Christians, just for the sake of trying to own something that you really don't have any business owning. Mm-hmm. It's like you're a business is Authentic Media. Your business is not Worship Leader Magazine or Worship Leader. This is just a product that you have. I mean, they'd be like Jif trying to trademark peanut butter.
You meant Gif.
No,
Jif.
The peanut butter.
The actual peanut butter. You know, it's like, or Peter Pan saying, well, we're trademarking peanut butter. You can't use it. So then it's like, okay, great. What's Jif supposed to do? Jif mashed peanut spread. I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's just dumb.
It. Yeah.
I mean, because so now, like you said, this is a job title. What are singer song dudes on the stage supposed to be called?
I called Mark him singy dude on him Sunday instead of worship leader. So I think we need to switch up our planning center stuff, like the naming stuff to
him singy dudes.
Yeah, him singy dudes.
Him singy dudes and him
you
singy
think maybe
gals.
Maybe it's just like a weird marketing, like as in just getting people to notice who they are and then they're just going to back off. It's like, okay, everyone knows who they are.
What I don't understand is why they're upset. It's bad publicity. Yeah, 100%, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit. What I don't understand though is worship leader props is hilarious and people absolutely love it.
I think it's created by a worship leader.
It is. Yeah. And so is Rogue Worship Leader.
Him singing dude.
Wouldn't a him singing dude? Yeah, you can't use that phrase anymore.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't Worship Leader and Authentic Media want to be connected with him singing dude probs and Rogue him singing dude? Like, why would they not want to have some kind of affiliation? Because it's just going to grow their audience and gain them more popularity.
Well, the thing instead, is, people have no connection. Like,
well, no, they don't have
like,
any real connection.
No connection to. Even if you took these two products and put them side by side, they are totally different.
Yep. Yeah.
But even so, like you said, it's only strengthening each other.
Right.
So it's like, I don't understand.
It's
why
a win-win if they just do this. I mean, you know what we need to do, though? We need to trademark Real Talk Podcast because there's like 5,000 of them out there right now.
And we're the best.
Yeah. And we need to trademark it so they all have to change their name so that we're the only one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they'll have to be the Real Talk.
That? You're all unnoticed.
Who can work on that? Yep. We're gonna trademark it.
I took law.
We're gonna trademark
there
it.
There you go. You took one law class.
I took two.
I took one law class in high school. In college.
Crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's really strange.
It's
I don't get it.
Deeper than just.
By the way, if you go sign the campaign, the petition, just be aware that the website is going to send you 400 emails in the first 20 minutes.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Mm.
But we talked about bad press.
Yes, which brings us to the deep dish, right?
It's the deep dish.
I ran across this article the other night, but I hadn't picked it yet, and Allie was getting the ball rolling. What was that, on Tuesday? I think Tuesday afternoon you sent this out, and I was like, I think this is the right one we ought to do. We've touched on this before. We had a little bit of a conversation on this one.
And, it was Alan's idea, but Allie reaffirmed Alan's idea.
Yeah. She did. She did.
That's very sus.
And David, as usual, tried to poo-poo on it a little bit. But
I'm here to shoot holes in it.
Yes. And I get it, because we have touched on this before, but it's like, here's just another article, another example. And it's, you know, but it's from our own side. I mean, it's from Christianity Today, and they are evangelical. I know some people don't care for them very much because they're maybe coming from a little bit different perspective, but the title's kind of funny. Evangelicals are the most beloved U.S. faith group among evangelicals.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But and then in fine print.
I am shocked.
But and then in fine print and among the worst rated by everyone else.
Right. And that's where the story is, because the reality is probably every faith group will probably have somewhat of a high view of themselves. And down in the article, you'll see that our view of ourselves at 60% is lower than many of the others who had higher views of themselves. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. Yeah, it was a funny and creative little heading there. So
I couldn't read the whole article because I don't have an account.
Oh, man. Right. Just let me know.
It's free.
It's one of those where you only, like, you get three free articles. And then it just locks after it. So
what
else have you been reading?
To me, the main topic on this is... I don't even think we needed a poll to let us know that right now, at least evangelical Christianity is not seen in a very good light.
Yeah.
And we fall under the Southern Baptist camp, and we're the largest denomination within evangelical circles. And we've been in the news, you know, quite a bit as of lately. And so to me, I think it's worth talking about. Because I do think that there are some things that we can learn from this. And so let's start with this. One, should we care? Should we, as evangelicals or as Southern Baptists, should we care how we're viewed? And is this like a Matthew 5:11 issue where this is just part of being a Christian? We're just going to be seen in a bad light, and we just need to be comfortable with the fact that the world's going to see us with these eyes. So what are y'all's thoughts on this one? And it can be nuanced, you know what I mean?
There's definitely a lot of nuance to this.
Mm-hmm. So, David, since you were excited about this article, what's your overall thought?
I mean, I didn't think it was a bad article, but I just, we like to dog ourselves a lot, especially as evangelicals. I thought it was an interesting article, and I think some of the poll numbers are very interesting. Like you said, how evangelicals think of ourselves pretty highly compared to everyone else. But I thought it was pretty interesting that the overall American poll, so... Mm-hmm. It's between favorable, don't know, and unfavorable. And so Americans towards evangelicals, 28% are favorable, and then 27 are unfavorable. And then you have 44% of people that don't know.
Right, which is a large group.
Yeah, that's a large amount of people.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're almost the same on both sides of don't like and do like. And I feel like it should be a lot more unfavorable. In my opinion, or I guess I was more surprised that there wasn't more unfavorable. Not that I think there should be more unfavorable, because just in the light of the culture, especially nowadays, it just seems everything that is Christian corresponds with evangelical Christians, not necessarily just Christianity as a whole, especially in the United States, because anything that's bad that is represented by a Christian belief is usually given to evangelicals. So
I think a little bit that might be skewed. I mean, living in the South, everything is evangelical,
right.
But just 10 years ago, everything towards Catholics was negative. They went through their whole sex scandal and cover up and everything. And when you're up there, you know, growing up there, Southern Baptists, they had no idea what a Southern Baptist was.
Yeah.
I mean, I might as well have been a Mormon in their mind. Matter of fact, we were considered Mormons, you know, to them, and they would ask that question. And so,
well, Mormons and Baptists get confused for each other a lot.
Yeah, they do.
You know, there was a statistic out for a while. I know this because I grew up in the Mormon church, and people have, like, have it sticking me on every Mormon they come in contact with. But the largest, this is old information, so I don't know if it's still true, but for a while there, the largest convert for a Mormon to join another church was Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. Simultaneously, the largest convert for someone leaving a Southern Baptist church was going to a Mormon church.
Whoa.
So it's almost like we were so close to each other in how generally the way the churches behave and operate that we were basically trading members back and forth.
But belief systems are so different.
They really are. Yeah.
But we had Mormons in our small group for the longest time. They would actively come to church and sit in our small group. Yeah, and
the reality is that most church members, even in the Southern Baptist Church, are very nominal. You know, they come, but their understanding of the Bible is pretty low. Mm-hmm. And so it would be, and we're a large denomination, so it would be easy to pick off some Southern Baptists because I don't know how many million, I can't remember, but we're a large denomination and a lot of people attend and many of them are once a month, you know, type of people who come that really don't know their theology very well.
And the thing is, like, being Christians, we're hypocrites, right? I mean, that goes with the territory because we're sinners and we're not perfect and we're not all that in a bag of chips. That was something we said in my generation that people got really annoyed with. You know, we're not perfect. We're not great. And, you know, in our flawed human efforts of trying to share the gospel with people, we express that in an unfortunate way a lot of times that makes it seem like we're holier than thou. And it's like, well, we're telling people you got to get your life right, and our lives aren't even right. Mm-hmm. You know, so I get that. But the biggest thing is, and you made the comment, and this kind of leads back to that whole bad press thing. We've gotten a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not just talking about recently with the investigations that we paid as SBC to do. I'm just talking about in general. I mean, you know, you've got the crazies out there like Westboro, right? Mm-hmm. That go and pick at everything and they make the news every time they show up somewhere. And they're just, these people are not loving Jesus. These people are radicals, you know, and they're not like everybody else. But just like everything else, what makes news is the radicals. It is the people that are far on one side or the other.
Minority.
But outside of that thought, though, SBC has really done somebody's going to shoot me for saying this, but SBC has really done some terrible things. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when we try to boycott Disney because Disney does an LGBTQ day, right, or whatever. When we try to boycott Disney, what do we think we're accomplishing there? All we're doing is saying that we hate a subsect of people because they're different. It's like, that's not sharing the love
of Christ.
I don't
know if it means that we hate them, but we do stand against that lifestyle.
But it reads.
Yeah.
It reads to everybody else as though we are so adamantly against these people and that we are going to boycott a company that supports it. And
now, have we done that? Have we boycotted them recently? Because I know there's like a big LGBT.
There was a big thing like early, maybe mid-2010s to early 2010s.
Yeah, a while back. Right.
Yeah. But there's been times where SBC has done stuff like that. And unfortunately, that stuff sticks around. You know,
for sure.
That thing sticks around. And again, it's not that we're saying we hate those people. We disagree with their lifestyle and choices that they're making. But again, that goes back to we're hypocrites because we make mistakes too. We make decisions that are not Christ glorifying. And so it's just like we have to be careful what we do. So I think we should care, you know, how we're viewed and all that kind of stuff because our goal is not to condemn people. Our goal is to set people free.
Right. Yeah. And that goes back to it. What is the purpose of the church? Well, the Great Commission, every church has the same purpose statement, same mission. It's to go and make disciples of all nations.
Right.
And so that's where I'm just like, sometimes I feel like we lose our focus. And I think that politics is important. I think Christians should be involved. But I do get a little nervous when corporately as a denomination, we may make a stance on something because that is probably our stance as a denomination, but I would rather be known for what we're doing and what we believe in and not just throw out the statement. Everyone already knows that as most evangelical churches that we don't support or celebrate maybe a gay lifestyle, but it doesn't mean that we don't have friends or family members or people that we associate with that we love that are doing things that we don't agree with. That's called humanity. And also another thing is I think we are all hypocrites. atheists are hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Every one of us, because we all have values, and none of us are good at standing up to our own standards. Whatever our standards are, mm-hmm. we all break our standards. So we're all hypocritical. It's just that ours are out there, and we are hypocritical like everybody else.
But let me give you a slightly different example. You know, and I have no context for this. It's just something that kind of entered my mind while you were talking. Is, you know, rather than we don't stand for abortion. In fact, we very much stand against abortion. We mm-hmm. don't. We do not condone the killing of babies in any way, shape, or form. You know, to me, it's like, okay, let's invest money rather than investing money as an SBC. And I'm not saying we have or haven't, but I'm just giving you a theoretical example. Rather than investing money in a campaign that talks about how much we dislike abortion and how much we stand against abortion, invest our time and resources into a way to provide so that people don't have to have abortions, you know? And again, I'm not saying we don't do that, but I'm saying rather than spending money on saying we are against this, spend money on providing an alternative, spend resources on providing an alternative, you know, and that's a way that your perception could change, is rather than just standing up and saying, I don't like something or I'm against something, saying, hey, we have an alternative for you.
It's so tough. That would, to me, you know, I was like, what are the ones that are worth fighting for and pushing back against? And for me, the right to life is one of those where it's like there's a legal side where you've got to give some pushback and you've got to make a stance. And then there's the influential side of having those conversations and sitting down. And what I think, you know, and where you're going with it is we definitely need to put much more emphasis on building bridges, having conversations, because I do think that we'd realize we're a lot more alike than we are different in a lot of ways. And on this issue, you know, it does make it harder, because if you don't put money towards pushing back against an agenda of the other side, then laws aren't going to be passed. Mm-hmm. And that's where it does get messy. It's unavoidable. And that's one of the few issues where I'm like, you know what, if it makes us look bad to other people who are more pro-choice, then so be it, you know, for me.
Yeah.
But I get your point. Your point is, in general, we are known by what we stand against, and mm-hmm. we'll put a lot more of our passion and more of our emotion goes into the negativity a lot than what we're for.
I have a hard time. I really struggle with this big identifier as evangelical, mm-hmm. Just because I think that encompasses a group of people who, like you said, very infrequently attend church, mm-hmm. Maybe have just very shallow depth of scripture. Yep. And so it's hard for me to know, like, what are the markers of somebody who would be considered evangelical? And so I think
as a Baptist church.
Yeah. I think as a whole, like, I don't even like the fact that there is an identifier like that out there. And
well, it's an umbrella that's catching a lot of us that really
don't belong under it.
Right.
Well, we don't identify with it. And then a lot of it is probably our approach. It's probably more of our form. We're uncomfortable with the form of some of the people and the way that they live out their faith and they engage
yes.
the community.
Yes.
I would say that we deserve to be under that umbrella, mm-hmm. but the word evangelical has lost all meaning.
Yeah.
Like it has no.
There's no definition.
Well, the definition of it has gone so far off of what it actually is that right. I think it's just so misunderstood of what it is. Even yeah. if you ask an evangelical, what is an evangelical? You're like, well, it's someone who goes to a Baptist church. Not that someone who's like worried about evangelizing the gospel.
Right. Right. And I think the other thing for me that I'm noticing myself do more of is having to make, not an excuse, but to make up reasons why someone was treated away by an evangelical before, mm-hmm. Who might be like starting to turn away from the gospel. And so we put so much effort into undoing the work or the damage somebody else has already done. And that's really difficult to deal with. And yep. so... yeah, why would anyone like us when we're just a very, I say we as in like that umbrella term, it's very confusing because we are not focused on what the true definition of an evangelical is. But even more than that, like we should absolutely care. Mm-hmm. You know, we care about our eternity and we should care about other people's eternity enough that they like us. I mean,
yeah. you have to
how difficult bridges. Is it to approach someone and be like, there is hope for you. And they're like, I dislike you so much. You know what I mean? You're not a simp, right? You know?
Whoa.
And so, vocabulary of the day. I mean, I just, it's frustrating to me that this is the way we're viewed. But I think if you were to look at, you know, other religions and how they would be viewed in comparison to evangelicals, there are a lot of people who don't step on toes. And so in a weird way, it's like an encouragement because people probably don't like us because we're standing up for what we believe in. Are there other ways to do those things? Absolutely. That's
the key. What's effective, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I think it needs to be known that we're known for what we stand against. I think that's very important. Yeah. But also at the end of that, we are also known for what we stand for. Right. So I think it's two part. You have to know both dynamics of the situation.
My dad gave me a book when I got my first job, and it was How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
A very common book, you know, that every kid needs to read on, you know, the importance of relationship and how you present yourself. And you want your children. I mean, one of our goals as parents is to raise our kids in such a way that other people like them and that they can interact with other people, because that will mean that your child will be more successful if they can integrate and get along in society and be a blessing to other people. And so I think that, you know, they gave a couple of examples of scripture that I thought were really good. And then I ran across a couple of other ones, but just listen to a couple of these scripture passages. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. I mean, that's just a good proverb right there that we could live by. A good name is better than fine perfume. That's out of Ecclesiastes. The two passages that they gave is one in Colossians: act wisely towards outsiders. Make the most of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. It doesn't mean that we can't disagree with someone or have a good conversation, because that's where you learn. I think most people like that. That's why we like podcasts. We like conversations and disagreement. And then a qualification of a deacon, okay? If you're going to be a leader in a church, furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders. Mm. Outside the church is what that means.
Mm-hmm. And that's in Timothy, right?
Yeah, right. And so it's just like, you know, so we ought to care.
He's been using his flashcards.
Mm. Learning. Yep. So how about this?
All the deacon stuff is in Timothy.
That's true.
So we recognize.
Before we go on, though, I think it's important for us to realize that in that scripture about having our speak seasoned with salt doesn't mean we're salty people.
Salty people.
Yeah. But we are. The salt is meant to preserve and to.
Yeah.
And, you know, cleanse. Cleanse and have truth.
It was profitable. Salt was important. Yeah. And
I have that don't scripture. Be salty. I have that scripture taped to my work phone.
Be salty.
Yeah.
No, like to season your tongue with salt.
So you don't be mean to people on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
It's helped.
I mean, it has. What's interesting is, you know, some of the questions you ask is, should we care? You know, the Matthew 5:11. You know, because we're going to be persecuted because we're believers. And, you know, and I was looking up this passage that I knew I'd seen before. And it was in Matthew 10. You know, it's like, you'll be hated because of my name, you know, kind of a thing. And the idea behind it is, I'm not saying we're not ever going to have a negative worldview. Like, people are never going to look at us and say, oh, well, Christians are great. They're awesome. They're wonderful. Because the truth is, we're sharing the gospel, and it's, the intent behind sharing the gospel, though, is eternal salvation and eternal freedom, not damnation. And it's kind of like you said, it's our approach sometimes that makes it seem like it's damning, you know, and we're not trying to be that way. But I think that's what has been viewed. And we've kind of gotten to this point culturally where you can't disagree with someone, right? Mm-hmm. If you disagree with them, you hate them. We've lost the art of being able to not necessarily agree, but still be friendly and have disagreements and not, oh, well, that's the end, you know, kind of thing. It's like, well, that's terrible, because we're not always going to agree, you know. And we have talked about this subject before, and I remember something that just hit me, because you guys know I've said this. I struggle with the idea of how to continue loving on people when I disagree with their lifestyle. It's hard for me to do that. Like, I struggle with the hardcore. And I remember
everyone does.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm over here on this island, like, everybody's so good at loving on people that are making terrible decisions in their life. And I'm like, stop making bad decisions. What was it from Liar Liar? Stop breaking the law. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our pastor made a comment when we were, this was during the height of COVID season, and we were talking about COVID and vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And our pastor made the comment that, you know, two Bible believing people, and this was a private conversation, but it wasn't anything that's outside of being able to be shared. Two Bible believing people can look at a subject and both of them love Jesus and love God and read their Bible and come to different conclusions about a subject, because it's just the nature of being human. And
it's nuance.
You know, and yeah, it's nuance, it's experience, it's what has led you to this point in your life. And he was like, you know, so we can't sometimes, there are things where absolutely we can.
Yeah.
But sometimes we can't take a definitive stance down to an nth degree because someone may see something different than you. And, you know, so it's kind of like, but we've lost the art of being able to disagree and not just hate each other because we're not in agreement.
Yeah.
You know, and that's unfortunate, you know, and I mean, I've lost relationships over it because I'm no better at it than anybody else. But once upon a time, I feel like there was a time in our culture where we could disagree with someone and it didn't mean we hated their guts.
Yeah. I mean, back in the 80s, I can remember being in college and beginning to learn about politics and like, oh man, you know, they totally lied on this side or that side, but it was still, it was not as venomous as it is, you know, now. And you could actually, you know, you could have people disagree and still be civil with one another. It's gotten so crazy. And, you know, unique perspective, and I've talked about this before, but growing up in the Northeast, even though my roots are Southern, growing up in the Northeast and then church planting in Colorado, you know, some of the things that I think we can work on as Christians, you know, what can we do to help build bridges is one, and I saw this a lot, even though like in Colorado, I would say within the whole population, you're probably looking at 35 to 45% would be conservative. The majority would definitely be more on the liberal side of things in Colorado. So within a church setting, there's a little bit more mixture typically in a church than there would be in the South. In the South, you're almost assumed that 90%, you know, at our church would be Republican, right? But even in a church like that out there, I would have to remind my Republican brothers and sisters in Christ, don't assume that everyone agrees with your politics because you bring it up as if obviously, you know what I mean? And I've even heard that happening here in our church, not very often, but especially within younger generations, sometimes a teacher can assume something and there's a generational difference there that that teacher may not recognize. And so just don't assume that everyone agrees.
Well, and our pastor has made that comment. He's like, don't assume everybody sitting next to you is a Republican.
Yeah.
There are good, God-loving, Bible-believing.
Praise the Lord.
Democrats that go to our church, and that's okay.
Yep, and have different priorities.
Or independents.
Or don't independence. Forget about them. Yeah, don't forget the independents.
Yeah, yep.
And even, the libertarians.
Yeah.
Even in like a non-political fashion, like what you just said about the generational differences, that has been something that's been so valuable for me in learning how to have that likability factor. So things that I think are really obvious to myself and the generation below me. My precious baby brother-in-law just has a different insight, and he's a campus missionary right now. And so it's neat to interact with him and understand what he's seeing on college campuses and just how he's learning to be a vessel in this time and season, and how, you know, conversations with my mom, we disagree on things, and it's just learning how to, I don't know. Yeah, it's just being likable and still being a vessel who shares the truth during different seasons of life, but also just how that's changed from generation to generation to generation has been really valuable for me to learn, because now I have history and I have the future and it's coming together. And how do you form that to change yourself to be a better person and more likable?
I think another thing too, to help us, how do we, you know, change these opinions is not to be ignorant on things that we are passionate about.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times that we as Christians get ourselves into with, you know, having a negative view towards other people and other people towards us is that we are so passionate and so we've hooked our trailer to this train and we're going and we don't even know where it's going.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And haven't so
really
like
thought it through or like heard the other side.
That goes towards like social issues. Politics is a huge one.
Yep.
Just be careful what you what you are passionate about. I mean, yep. If it's not of the Bible, then it's probably not something good to be passionate about.
Yep. If it's man-made,
yeah.
I can guarantee you it ain't good.
Yeah, it's yeah. not. And yep. so that's another thing that we can do. But it's important for us to be gracious and show truth. And mm-hmm. I think we've kind of reiterated that a lot, is that when we're talking to people, one, don't be ignorant about the things that you are, but in the things that you are confident about, you speak those things with truth and love. Yeah. That's it.
Right.
You know.
The more comfortable you are with a topic and you know it, then your blood pressure is not going to rise right. up out of all the fears right. of, am I about to get, you know, totally slammed here? And you kind of, you're not yourself anymore, you know, but mm-hmm. no, if you believe something and you're wanting to interact with people and be an influencer, then know a little bit about it so you can actually relax and listen to what they have to say, mm-hmm. you know, because that's where we learn something and we gain a better perspective and maybe even have a better approach yeah. with influencing them in another mm-hmm. direction.
Or a lot of the times you, not specific to Bible things, but like just society as a whole, you might be wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Like that,
absolutely.
That you might be Whoa. Wrong. And now that's a novel idea.
Right.
That you actually might learn something new and realize that what you believed wasn't actually necessarily true. It mm. might have been half true, but yep. not totally true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying, like, you got to be critical thinking and you got to be competent about the things that you hit your trailer to.
Yep. Right. Yep. You know, Alan, you asked the question, you know, what can we do to change opinions? And the thing is, we can't, we here at this table, we individually, our church can't change a global opinion, right? We can't change, we can't change a global worldview, you know, but what we can do is we can change the worldview that surrounds us, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, you kind of started saying something, I thought this is where you're going when it kind of feeds into that about not being ignorant. We also can't be ignorant about how we're perceived.
Yeah.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times we just want to hide behind scriptures and say, well, we're going to be hated, right? And they're going to hate us because they're of the world and we're of God, and that's yeah. why they hate us.
Doesn't give any excuse.
You know, you need to take some ownership sometimes of yeah. how you've behaved. I mean, like, I know I do.
Yeah.
Like, I need to take ownership sometimes of how I've behaved, yeah. and I have not represented Jesus the right way.
When
right.
a child or when an adult always blames their how people view them on others,
yeah.
you know that they don't they lack
self-awareness.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
Right.
And so we can't be ignorant of how people do view us.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and how, like, I remember, and I've talked about this before, when this was the late 90s, early 2000s, and a movie came out called Saved, and we viewed it on a college campus with college students, and because I was in college ministry at the time. And it was like, wow. I mean, there was a secular college campus, and we viewed this movie, and it was, we laughed at it because we're like, oh, this is funny because ha, ha, ha. But then it occurred to us, this is how people actually view us. Mm. Yeah. and they made all kinds of stupid, silly jokes, but the reality was this is how people viewed us. And so when we went back to our church and we're talking through, hey, you know, we're talking through our discipleship leadership. Hey, we watched this movie and, you know, here's a reality that we need to understand and face is that this is how people view us. It became very much, no, it's not. That's just someone's raunchy opinion of us. And we don't need to put any stock in them. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. They portrayed this because they view us this way. And
the good news is if you really get to know people, it's easy to be able to portray the Christian faith in a better way, because mm-hmm. just like sometimes we have an over inflated view of someone else on the opposite side, and they're a lot more normal and human than you know, what we have them in our mind. It's the yeah. same way.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times in church planning, you guys have heard me say it, that people would be shocked that we were a Baptist church. We didn't have it in our name, and we didn't talk about it because that wasn't our identity. We're mm-hmm. Christ followers, and we happen to be from this denomination, but many of them learned it in our membership class, or if they asked me specifically, hey, what denomination are you? But every one of them, not every one of them, but like 70% of them were like shocked, and then they were like, I would never have visited if I'd known this was a Baptist church. and I know that makes us sad. And for some people, it might even kind of like make them irritated. But that's the reality. But every one of them, we didn't lose one person when they found out that we were Baptist because they liked us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now we had people leave the church over a period of time because that just happens. Maybe a better preacher down the road happens, or a different yeah. worship style or whatever else. But
a difference. Him singy dude.
Yeah, don't say worship leaders.
Yeah. That singy dude, yeah. Better singy dude down the road.
Well, and Alan, I mean, people would have never assumed that Tom Cruise was pastoring a
church. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So true. In Colorado.
In Colorado. I mean, you know, yeah. It'd be nice to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to kind of feed on that, and mainstream media Hollywood is not doing us any favors. I remember there's a show that has recently come out called Last of Us, right? And it's like a zombie show, and it's based on a video game. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, a character comes into the show, and he's this really bad guy. And they portray him as a preacher, as an evangelical, right? That does not exist in the video game. Mm-hmm. That character exists, but a backstory of him being an evangelical does not exist. And so there was lots of commentary from leftist Hollywood about how, oh, as soon as I saw that character, I knew they were going to make him the bad guy from the game. And the comments are, you know, it's pretty obvious that mainstream media points evangelicals in a bad light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's not helping our cause.
At least they notice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's
yeah, they know we're different.
People on the left side are commenting, but they're painting us in a bad light. And so they're saying, yeah, there's a bias against evangelicals in media as well, which doesn't help our cause. So.
Well, and that's where I think the Matthew 5:11 comes in, right? Yeah. Like, this world is not for us. Mm-hmm. And we know that, but it's God is for his people. Yeah. And so we then should be for the other people he created. And that is one of the hardest things I've had to learn is just looking at someone else and be like, all right, he loves me and he loves that person and he loves us equally. And I don't know how, but I know it's my job to make sure that they understand how.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For those of us who are Christ followers also that have children that are not walking in that way, and you know that there are other people that may be viewing them in a negative light, it just makes you all the more yearn for Christians who will meet people where they're at, love them, engage them where they're at, and not be rude. And for the most part, you know, it hadn't happened, and I'm so grateful. But I know it's a concern, you know. Yeah.
Listen, David loves on Carson every time he sees him.
Such a difficult child.
He is a difficult child.
So I'm thankful for that.
We have gotten in a fight over text. So. I will respond to you,
your
Carson.
Your comment about Taylor Swift, oh, man, you don't want to meet Meredith now.
Yeah, I know. She's mad at me.
Yeah,
we knew that was going to happen. But I'm willing to stand on the truth.
Okay, yeah.
Whoa.
That she's an overrated musician?
Yes.
Yeah.
Might need to build a bridge there. Well, very cool. Yeah, that could be a topic we talk about forever.
Swift?
No. Yeah.
No.
And I think it's just something that it's like life. We have to learn, and there's a pendulum that always swings. And hopefully as a denomination, as evangelicals, we're learning, look, there may be a better way for us to engage society and influence people. And so hopefully we'll learn our lesson. Anything else to add?
Be kind.
Just be better.
Yeah.
Don't forget to
like,
subscribe,
share,
and comment.
Yeah. We did it that time.
We did
Good
it.
Job. We did it.
And try
it.
Our peanut
don't
butter.
Don't try the peanut butter stuff.
Yeah. Try it out.
Don't
really
do
good.
It.
Just chill it a little
it's
bit
not
before.
Worth it.
It grows.
God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.